I'm so happy to be with you today to celebrate the Holy Mass, but after Mass also for this special occasion of blessing the new statue that is in the outdoor shrine. And it's an image of Jesus asking for our love, inviting us to consider his poverty, the needs that he has, and our ability through faith to see Christ in all people and to meet the needs, especially when there is the need for those who hunger, those who thirst, and also understanding there's a Eucharistic aspect to that as well, the hungering and thirsting for our soul that Jesus has. So it's a beautiful addition to this national shrine, and if you can, we encourage you to join us afterwards for the blessing, even though it's a little rainy out there. But it was wonderful as just before the homily now, I wanted to acknowledge the young people who came in procession at the beginning of Mass, including our little Mother Teresa over there. But it was so cute, obviously, with the coming holiday, our feast day of All Saints, and they're dressed up as various saints. And I just got a kick right before we started Mass, one of the boys who's dressed up as John the Baptist. You know, he's got his shirt ripped and, you know, he's the wild man out in the desert. One of the little boys looked at him with a straight face and he said, "Did you get attacked by a coyote?" So, now the blessing of the statue and that image is very appropriate with the readings that we just heard proclaimed today from the book of Exodus and the gospel. So let's take a look at that on this 30th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Jesus in the gospel was recognizing that the Sadducees kind of, you know, had failed in a way to trip Jesus up. The Pharisees wanted their turn at it, and so they asked him this question. Well, which commandment is the most important? Probably wanting to twist his words, whatever he was going to say, and use them against him. But Jesus comes back with his response that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two are the basis that fulfill all the law and all the prophecy. So everything from the tradition that of God's revelation to the people of the old covenant. Remember, Jesus was part of that. Jesus was going to be the bridge. He's going to be the new covenant. But he's still immersed in that reality of that chosen people and the law that was meant to govern their lives and make them distinct amongst all the peoples of the world, because of this knowledge and understanding of God's will for them and how they had to fulfill it. Jesus didn't come to abolish that law. He came to fulfill it. But he was clearly now stating that in order to do that, all of the law, all of the prophets point to that fundamental commandment to love. And so that's why our hearts beat with love. That's why the greatest experiences of life are about love. We all yearn for it. We all experience it in different ways. It's the most satisfying aspect of what we can receive and what we can give. Love. And so because it is such, we know that there'll be challenges to love. It's not always easy to love. Might not be easy to love God when we see war or see great divisions or see people who die of cancer or children who might die at a young age. All those questions always challenge us to see how could God, a God of love, allow that? And the difficulty of loving our neighbor. We all know how difficult that can be. not only hard to love a neighbor who we might not know, it might be even hard to love somebody in our own household, a sibling, sometimes even spouses, a coworker, somebody else in the school where you are. Whatever the case is, the difficulty of love is a challenge. So I think knowing that, our Lord elevates this for our consideration so that we know that we always have to stay rooted in it. We can't abandon it. Despite the hardships that it might cause, it will ultimately be what is the answer to our problems, our difficulties, because love will rule the day. And the importance of our surrender of our own willfulness to imitate the love that Jesus expressed in his life. The constant giving of himself, the forgiving of sinners, the healing when people needed it, his desire not only to have that intimacy with his Father and knowing he needed to go away to the desert or to the mountain for those moments where he could experience that communion of great love, but he also knew just how to continue to be part of the mix of the world, back in the villages and the towns where people were experiencing the day-to-day routine and the difficulties that they faced. He wanted to be with them. And so he didn't hide or go away from them, but encounter them, accompany them, went along the journey with them. And so that's our task as well. Each day, we need our time in the desert or on the mountain where we experience communion with the Lord. Let him fill us with love. That's why the Eucharist is so beautiful for us too. It's an agape meal. It's a love feast. It's a moment when we encounter the power of God's love, which should be just like a magnet for us and just explode out of us when we experience it. So that's the amazing gift, is that we really can't give what we don't have. And so we have to come to the source of love. And the sacraments of the church are filling us with that in a very powerful way. So Jesus, with these two great commandments, is reminding us that they're two sides of the same coin. And you can't say you do one without doing the other. You can't say you love God but hate your neighbor. You can't say you love your neighbor but hate God. There's lots of different circumstances that has to come into our consideration and be very mindful about, intentional about. Again, it'll challenge us, but in a good way. And so I think the book of Exodus, that first reading, as it talks about, you know, not treating the alien any worse, you know, because don't forget, you were an alien at one time too. The whole book of Exodus talking about that time when the people coming out of slavery were just in the desert and on their way to the promised land, but experiencing that longing for it and the needs that they had for the manna that God would provide them with, and all the other human needs that we have. So there's all that we have to consider, which I think stirs up in us a kind of empathy and a kind of charity that is needed for our world. If we look at our Catholic faith, I think it's a blessing for 2,000 years, if you look at the history books, and just look at what the church does in our own day and age. All the different organizations, all the different lives of the saints that had as their thrust that desire to help others in very practical ways, to meet their material needs, the corporal works of mercy, the ways that we know that people need help. And so often we see, like, what good is it to tell your neighbor to stay warm and well-fed unless you give them something that helps them to be warm and well-fed? So it's practical advice. It's common sense kind of things that the Lord is really helping us to be aware of and to act on, not just to have it in our mind as a concept, but a very practical application of our faith life. And so we think of all the food pantries, you know, all the ways that people reach out neighbor to neighbor when there's a need for providing a meal or clothing or shelter. All of the Catholic Human Services programs and things that are part and parcel of their mission. The Knights of Columbus, the Diocesan Council of Catholic Women, all look at the needs that are in their local communities or in the state or in the country or in the world. And we give our stewardship, time, talent, treasure, so that we can make a difference in the world where there is the most need. It could be hurricane relief. It could be, you know, people who are suffering, migrants who have to be forced out of their homes. And do we provide a welcome? Do we provide a way that we are showing that we're walking the talk of our faith? Here in our own diocese, we know there are great needs when migrants come to do much of the farm work. And are we providing hospitality? Are we providing welcome to them? Are we helping to feed them? You may or may not know that there are four Nicaraguan families that came to us back in February of last year. You know, they experienced great religious persecution in their country, and 222 of them had been in prison and then released. The U.S. State Department helped work out freedom for them, but sadly they had to renounce their own citizenship. They arrived in the United States not knowing a thing about anything here, leaving everything behind, including spouses and children. So four of them ended up here in our diocese. We welcome them. Father Wayne Zekin, one of our priests, did yeoman's task of trying to help integrate them, get them all of the necessary things that were important to get them established here. And now I was talking to him recently, and I stay in touch with them on occasion. They said they're doing royally. They have jobs. Their wives and children, we were able to help bring them here. And they are part of our school system now, and they're participating in the life of our community. And they celebrate Mass with the local community in Traverse City area. So practical needs require practical assistance. And we might say there's so many, it could be overwhelming, and that's true. But I always think of that story of the boy walking down the shore, and there's all these the starfish. I was thinking, what kind of fish are they? Yeah, starfish. That had come up onto the beach, and there's just millions of them, and he starts throwing them back into the water, and somebody comes and said, well, why are you doing all that? You're never going to make a difference for all these starfish. And he picks up one more, and he says, it'll make a difference for this one, to put them back into the sea where they can live. But that's part of what I think we always have to do. Do what we can, and not get overwhelmed by all of the possibilities of the things that we can do. God will be pleased when we are just allowing His grace to come out of our own comfort zone and be able to sacrificially offer help to others, provide for those needs. You know, another story that is very compelling is the life of Dorothy Day. You know, Pope Francis made reference to her when he came to the United States and spoke at Congress. And if you know her from the Catholic Worker Movement, back in the time of the Depression, you know, she established a home in New York City to try to provide relief for those who were destitute, just living on the street, a place to sleep, place to eat. But it was so difficult, you know, just trying to provide for so many and knowing that you could only do so much. But she made an interesting comment. She said, you know, after a certain time period passed, and people said about her that she's like a living saint. She's like a Mother Teresa, like we would say now, somebody who's just so giving and helping the poor. But she said, you know, if you help the poor, they call you a saint. But if you ask why they're poor, they call you a communist. She made that comment because she got a lot of pushback. Like, why, you know, not in my backyard. We don't want the poor here. Take care of them over somewhere else. So that was always a tension there, isn't there, in our local neighborhoods, our communities. How much do we reach out to help those who are poor and provide for them? ask, why is there poverty? And what can we do about that at even a different level? So we gather today, I think, with the Eucharist in mind, where this feast is nourishing us. We remember we were exiles one time, and now we have been brought to that promised land. This new covenant that our Lord establishes with us is a loving communion that just is meant to help us, like Jesus, go out, go and do the mission of building up a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. And our task each day will be to be mindful, prayerful, and charitable in what we can do to do that, how we can participate in it, not just be an observer. You know, just like what the church teaches about when we come to Mass, full, active, conscious participation. You're not just observers when we come to Mass. Everyone has to enter into the mystery and allow that mystery to touch our heart and lift us up, because God is speaking to us these words of sacred scripture week after week, providing instruction, challenge, inspiration, and then he feeds us. So we have to come hungry for the Eucharist, come hungry for Jesus, so that he then, you know, is reflected in the things that we do in his name.